post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio is Ross Gibbs. How are you, Ross?
Feeling very lonely this week. We seem to be on our own.
We are for this week. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. We're coming from the cold, cold climate of Canberra, but we're warm in the studio, very warm, even though I have my beanie on. It's beanie time weather.
It is beanie time weather in Canberra. It is very, very cold.
Okay, coming up on the show this week, we have... we're going to talk Asian Champions League, and Russ and I will discuss the Central Coast Mariners and Newcastle Jets. Do they have any hope of reaching the next round? Also, we've got an interview with the inaugural Australian under 13 coach, Ante Juric, and also discuss, we're going to discuss marquee players, Joel Porter, Chris Turner's comments from Hartlepool, and many more. And Canberra listeners, stay with us at 7 o'clock. We'll catch up with Woden Valley's Rad Trukoski. Rad is taking a team over to Europe to play football, so that should be looking forward to that. We've got all the big issues, quiz dedications, and more, and you can catch us as usual on the blog www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And lots of opinions on there from me, and lots of criticism from you, I guess, or other people, it seems, at the moment. Very don't seem to be writing the right thing, but that's okay. This week's dedication, we're going to dedicate the show to Joel Porter. Joel Porter, we dedicate the show to him, Australian who is leaving Hartlepool United. Chris Turner's Hartlepool, coming back to Australia, and we'll have a little discussion about the comments that the manager made later on. But the manager said he was going to a poorer level of football. But Joel clearly has a mind of his own, and he's got his own brain. And where would you rather be, Hartlepool or the Gold Coast? So, Chris Turner, oh, yours, mate. And the quiz question this week, Russ, a little bit more refined is the quiz, you'll be glad to know.
Good.
Name all the coaches in the A-League this season. Name all the coaches in the A-League this season.
Cup. The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
The near post will wish them luck. Russ, actually, the near post are going to wish you luck. Name all the 10 coaches. You know, we've done quite well on questions when there's been 8 involved, but we're stretching it a little bit.
We are stretching it.
We could be like England, and we could have 20 coaches. So you're lucky, you've only got 10 to name. So away you go.
Laurie McKinnon, Central
Laurie
Coast.
McKinnon, he's a coach, is it? Yes,
he is. Yes, he is. Vitislav Lavica at Sydney
FC.
Mate,
that is very impressive. I was hoping that was the one that was going to stop. Yeah.
The Czech guy.
You just read that off my sheet.
I might have. I did my research pre
games. I had it all prepared.
It was prepared and everything.
Okay, that's two. Can you say that name again?
Vitislav Lavica.
Yeah,
is that right?
Correct.
Is that pronounced correctly?
That is pronounced correctly.
Adelaide United have still got Vidmar at the moment.
You sure do.
We've got, trying to remember who we've got. Who have I said? Gold Coast of...
Okay, I'm going to help you.
Yeah, help me out.
Gold Coast, who they got?
They've got the... what's this fella's name? I've forgotten his name.
That's right. Welcome back to the Gold Coast. Newcastle Jets.
Newcastle Jets, Gary Van Egmond.
Van Egmond, that's right. Wellington Phoenix.
Is it still Ricky Herbert over there?
It is still Ricky. I think they're still in the league, aren't they? Yeah?
They are still in the league. I think they'll do well this year, but that's another story.
They've still got him as the coach. Who else have we got? We've got Melbourne Victory.
Melbourne Victory. Ernie Merrick, obviously.
And Ernie doesn't change, so that's them. Perth Glory?
Perth Glory. I've forgotten the name for the time being. Dave Mitchell, wasn't it?
Dave Mitchell, that's right.
That's
and Townsville?
Townsville.
Otherwise known as North Queensland.
Yeah, Ferguson.
Ian Ferguson, the ex Glasgow Rangers and Central Coast assistant. And that just leaves you, I think, with Gold Coast.
Was it Colleen? Branko?
Branko, no, that's his son.
That's his son, isn't
Jason.
It?
Jason. Branko's the technical director at Newcastle.
I'm going to kick myself. I can't remember.
You are going to kick yourself. It is Mirren.
Of course it is. Mirren Blyberg. Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
Did we do the Queensland Raw?
No, because...
Brisbane Raw.
Brisbane Raw. We haven't done them yet.
Brisbane Raw.
And who are they?
Who are they?
Who's
the coach?
Who's
again,
the coach?
I've forgotten.
Dwight York?
Dwight York is not Dwight.
Brisbane Raw, Queensland Raw. Come on, Russ.
Queensland Raw. My brain's gone completely mental.
One. Former Socceroo.
I'm going to kick myself
again. Italy. Yeah. Barry.
Gone.
It's not John Casimiro.
No.
I'm just making you.
Just tell everyone.
It's the expert here, Ruskin's talking football. Brisbane Roar is, of course, I thought it was going to roll off your tongue, and it doesn't.
It will in a minute.
Frank Farina.
Frank Farina. Oh, that's poor.
From
that's
Perth Glory to the Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
And, yeah, unfortunately that jingle's got Queensland roar in it, so I'm going to have to change it
to
Brisbane
it, yeah.
roar. But never mind.
I might remember the coach by the time the season starts.
We might just keep it for history. Well, it's always difficult when you're put on the spot and, you know, Frank Friend is not a very well-known person in football. So.
not from where I come from.
No, anyway, 8 out of 10 is pretty good, Russ, so that's not bad. OK, we're going to talk... we've got some news from the local, the Australian football scene. What's going on?
Well, staying with the Brisbane roar, did read last week that they're enlisting the services of fitness expert and ex-boxing champ Mark Chopper Burgess for pre-season training. And apparently this week players are reported to be entering the ring to taking on the former Aussie super heavyweight title holder. And I was just wondering if big Charlie Tim Tam had a chance of taking him out.
I think he'd knock him out. He'd push him over, wouldn't he?
I reckon Charlie. He's been brought up on the rough streets of Glasgow. He'd be taking us out easy. No problem
yeah,
for
that's
Charlie.
Right, actually. Yeah, he'd have no problem. OK, Scott McDonald's on holiday, yes. The seasons are winding down in England and Europe, but Scott is on holiday with Celtic. Celtic have taken a break to Spain for a week, and they come back, of course, to finish their season and win the title over the next five games.
Football superstars up and running this week shortly with this year's winner off to Melbourne Victory, hoping to have better luck than Adam Hett, who last year unfortunately injured himself during his very early stint.
Yeah,
I'm
wondering whether the same guys can get to go again. I suppose they can.
I don't suppose there's any reason why they wouldn't.
No. David Carney and Adrian Lair with Norwich. David Carney's been playing a few games, but they could be relegated to Division, whatever that division is.
League One.
League One. Yeah, yeah. They're always very confusing. And Burton Albion, my hometown, a big mention for Burton Albion. Absolutely no Australian connection other than the fact that I was born there. Burton Albion lost 2-1 to Torquay on the weekend, but they are promoted to the Football League proper. Fantastic.
Good news for Burton.
Oh, fantastic. Go the Brewers.
And they did get up in the end by goal difference, was it, or something
like
that?
Yeah, Cambridge United drew 0-0 and Burton lost 2-1. We were 19 points ahead. Notice that it's we were 19 points ahead at one point in the season, but we managed to get over the line in true Burton fashion with a 2-1 defeat and relied on Cambridge drawing 0-0.
With Altrincham.
And we're known, the nickname of Burton?
You said it last week, the Brewers?
The Brewers, yeah, the brewing capital of the world. Joe Simonich on more Australian focus here. Josip Simonich, Hertha Berlin are in second place and could yet win the Bundesliga. So Near Post going big support for Joe there.
I've got their 2009 Confederations Cup. Congratulations to Ben Wilson and Matthew Cream, who've both been selected as assistant referees after passing fitness tests in Canberra on the weekend. And if anybody was in Canberra on the weekend, they'll know that was pretty impressive considering the wind and the rain that we had here. Didn't make for very pleasant testing conditions. Matthew Brees, likely to be an Australian referee to go over there. He has a test to undertake beforehand, but he's likely to be chosen. So that's good experience for the Aussie officials there.
Mark Birighetti, the Adelaide United keeper, could be off to AZ Alkmaar. Apparently there's a dispute over the size of the transfer fee, but in all matters European football, the European club always wins.
They tend to do so. Qantas Joey's had a couple of games over the Anzac weekend against the Turkey under-16 teams. They went down 1-0 in the first clash, so a 64th-minute goal from Ilkay Sayan. And in the second game, they played a lot better. Went down 2-1. Kerem Bulut gave the Joey's the lead. A couple of goals from Artin Akkakin, sorry, I think that's how you pronounce it, with a last-minute winner as well for Turkey. So the boys playing some good football, but unfortunately losing both matches over the Anzac weekend.
Sydney FC have started training with Vitislav Lavica, the new coach, and apparently it's harder than under John Casemiro, according to media reports. You know what? I don't believe it.
Well, I don't believe it either at all.
It's just
coming
tosh.
Hard under John. They just make things up, don't they?
Don't they reckon? Yeah. They're just like, oh yeah, it's much harder under this guy, and you think, well, yeah, what? So Cozzy, they just...
It's just they've forgotten how pre-season is each year. Everyone turns up for expecting it to be great, and then obviously it's just a running up sand dunes.
You've got a new coach and all the rest of it. Oh, Alvaro Recoba, one of Australia's greatest football fans.
We love him.
Yeah, we do, but he may be signing for Perth Glory, so if he did, that'd be fantastic news. So we'll have a bit of a chat about that later. And Craig Moore to miss the Socceroos qualifiers in June. 3 months without football at the end of the season means that he's unlikely to be fit enough to take part.
Okay, and I've got something that slipped under the radar a little bit from our point of view. Early April, the Melbourne Victory women's team, the W League side, went off to Shanghai to play an international women's soccer tournament against Tianjin, Shanghai and Zhanxi. I believe they were beaten in all three games, but that would have been an experience for them and a step in the right direction for the W League.
And the young Matildas have been in camp this weekend, and the former Matildas are heading to Queensland this weekend, or to Coffs Harbour this weekend, as they prepare for their next round of games in their Asian Cup. Okay.
Is the marquee player a hero or a dud? The near post is clear as mud.
And okay, we're going to talk Asian Champions League. Russ, last week, Central Coast Mariners, Newcastle Jets continued on match day four. Both had defeats to Japanese clubs. What were your thoughts?
Well, let's start with the Central Coast Mariners, and we were having a bit of a giggle beforehand about how they could perhaps turn around a 5-0 defeat the previous week, and I was under the impression that they thought they could get a result, and obviously the conditions played into their favour, but they played particularly well. I think Laurie McKinnon got his tactics spot on last week. Okay, they went down 2-1. It finished Kawasaki Frontale 2, Central Coast Mariners 1. Matt Simon scoring the Central Coast goal. Juninho and Renatinho for the Kawasaki team, a couple of Brazilians. But it was a much better performance.
It was, but I was more disappointed with the performance last week than the first week. The first week I thought McKinnon got it all wrong. There was just too much space, etc. But last week they played really well, but they gave away two of the most stupid goals you're ever likely to see. And you think, this is a professional football team. They've got Alex Tobin as their coach, supposedly, you know, 113 whatever caps for the Socceroos. Couple of balls, the goals that they gave away,
very sloppy.
I mean, that's nothing to do with technical football, is it?
No, it's very sloppy. I mean, Vukovic would be very disappointed with the first one, not holding the original effort.
I mean, they should have got 3 points. I mean, if you were playing in that team, Russ, wouldn't you be more disappointed with the result? I mean,
absolutely, because at least they were in with a shout of actually getting something from that game. The week before, it was dead and buried, and they were nowhere near getting points out of it. But having come so close and turning the performances around in a week to actually get nothing would have, after looking for quite a long time, like they could have got a result, it would have been very disappointing for all of them.
You're not allowed to say Japanese football without saying technically superior, of course, but I'm not so sure that that's the case. I mean, I think what the Mariners have shown there is the ability, if you actually play a team in the right formation, that, you know, was there any really massive difference between the teams on the day?
I don't think there was. I mean, if you look at who scored the goals for Kawasaki, it was the two Brazilians, the imports, that did the damage for them, and they were, like you say, they were avoidable goals.
I mean, Vukovic should have caught it. There shouldn't have been a free header, and somebody should have been helping him clear up. Manny Simon went over enthusiastic, went to head away from Boic. You know, I mean, a simple little defensive. You know, if Boic had just moved out to the guy who flicked the ball back in, that would have stopped that goal.
I mean, it's a learning curve, I think, for quite a lot of them. I mean, it's a step up in terms of quality, for in terms of the football, I believe, from what they're getting each week in the A League. I do think coming up against different styles. I mean, different types of football. It's going to be difficult.
Manny Simon made a big difference.
I thought he was excellent last week. I mean, and he took his goal superbly well. I mean, it wasn't an easy chance. The goalkeeper coming out made it look a little easier than what it was, but in the conditions to stretch like he did and keep it on target, he did very well to score that.
No, and interesting, Lyle Gorman, the CEO of, the chairman of the Mariners, came out and said they're going to have a bit of an overhaul of the playing style and the players. They've got 10 of their original players from the first A League season, and I think it shows a bit. So,
I think this is something we're going to talk about a little bit later on. About, I think it's a season too late for them. It's not this Central Coast Mariners team that qualified that we're looking at the moment.
Okay.
We'll be talking about that later.
Newcastle Jets.
I was just going to say, big game for Central Coast. Need to win against Pohang.
They've got to win,
and it's going to be a massive game.
Massive. Newcastle Jets. What do you think? Thoughts on that game?
Again, disappointing. Thought they might have got something out of it. Played okay. I think they missed Milosevic in the back, but they missed Jesic up front more. The lack of a cutting edge really was their main problem. I mean, I think if ever they've missed Joel Griffiths in a game, it was this week. They didn't look likely. In saying that, they got themselves back into it. They got the penalty. And was it the worst penalty ever taken?
No, it wasn't. The guy who plays for Manchester United, I forget his name, but that $30 million lump of rubbish. What's his name?
Ronaldo?
No, the other fellow. Berbatov.
Oh, Berbatov. Well, maybe. It was just as bad, so yeah.
And of course, I'm saying that because Russ is a big Man United fan, so I had to get that one in there. No, it was a hopeless penalty.
It was hopeless.
So Petroski tried to get out of it and said it wasn't his fault, but it was, mate. He missed a penalty. It's his fault.
Well, yeah. I mean, who else is he going to blame? He had the chance from 12 yards to get a point out of it at least. But defensively, they seem fairly solid for most of it. Again, it was a classy finish from I think his name was I've got it written here, Ogawa Yoshizumi. Took it down nicely and showed a lot of composure to tuck it away.
Nice to see a Japanese player score.
It was, yeah. he didn't have much room in which to do that. I mean, he was unmarked, but there was a little bit of pressure on him, and he didn't panic, and he took it really well. And if only, I mean, it's a question of if only again, if only Petrovsky had scored, if only Jesic had been fit, Yeah, if I knew the answer, Joe Griffiths.
That's right. And, I mean, they were, you know... having said that, Van Egmond, I thought, did play a good game. I mean, he's got Donny de Groot up front, who he hasn't scored, and I don't think he's going to, and I think that doesn't help them.
He reminds me a bit of... what's the name of the fella at Queens and Raw that struggled? The Sergio Van Dijk. Didn't look like scoring for ages and ages and ages, and then got one, and then went off on a roll. And I think de Groot could do the same thing. But I read an interview with him. He's loving it here, and he's enjoying it, so... give him a chance. I think when he settles down, he'll be good.
They do have a chance of going through more than the Mariners.
I think. Looking at the league table, Grampus 8 all on 4 games. Grampus 8 have 8 points. Ulsan Hyundai have 6. Beijing Guoan have 4. And Newcastle Jets have 4. Newcastle next up, home to Beijing Guoan. Huge game. If they can get the points out of that, because Grampus and Ulsan were obviously going to take points off each other. So if Newcastle can get a win there, they're right back in the in the frame. And then they finish up with an away trip to Ulsan Hyundai, which is going to be tricky. But I think they've got to get a win in the next game to give themselves any chance.
Okay, we'll have a look at that next week. Coming up now, we've got an interview with Ante Juric. Ante is the former played football in Melbourne, I think Melbourne Knights, and also in Sydney, and played overseas in Singapore. But he's the inaugural Australian coach. He's also from Canberra, so I caught up with him at the National Championships in Canberra. And this is what Ante had to say about his role. I'm joined now by Ante Juric. Ante is a former Canberra boy, grew up here, and he's making his living from the game. A lot of people will know him on the Near Post show, but I guess many Canberrans will probably have forgotten Ante on his journey. Ante, can you just tell us a little bit about your background from your Canberra days?
Yeah, I'm actually from Tuggeranong in Canberra, so I started was Canberra United for juniors, which is now Tuggeranong United, I believe. And I went on to Canberra Deakin, which is also got a name change, I believe, Canberra FC. Stayed there till about 17, then moved on to Melbourne for the National League, so after stints at AIS as well. So, yeah, definitely developed my football in Canberra.
And from there, you played who? With Melbourne Knights, was it? And all the clubs that you played with?
Yeah, Melbourne Knights was first National League team. Just had a year down there. Then I moved to Sydney, where I've been probably about 10 years with Sydney Olympic. Played there, and amongst stints in Norway, Malaysia, and Portugal. So yeah.
And now you're back into the coaching gig. We're at the National Junior Championships, and Ante, you're going to be the first coach of the Australian under 13 teams. That's correct.
Yeah, it's super. I've obviously played for Australia, which is it's an honour. But to now try and get in the coaching side of things, and to be the first coach of Australian under 13s is, if not the equal, it's definitely up there.
So what have you been doing prior to this? You've been coaching in Sydney?
I've recently retired from football, playing in terms of professional probably 3 years ago, and I've actually got a teaching background, so I'm at Trinity Grammar School there, coaching and teaching, and I'm master in charge of football there, so it's all to do with football and slowly trying to get into the coaching ranks, so this is a good step in that department.
So that's interesting. So you haven't been coaching at I suppose the New South Wales Premier League club of late. You've come through the school system, but now you've got the appointment as the Australian national coach. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I have done my licences once. I've been targeted by FFA, but I've been amongst it. And because of my football background, you know, playing for Australia at many levels, I guess they see that as a good thing. And for this age group, I think being a teacher last 2 years is definitely a super plus. So, and like I said, doing the licences last week, I did the A licence. So, you know, ticking all the boxes. But in terms of experience, you've got to start somewhere, I guess.
Absolutely. So, and you're right. Obviously, the teaching the young people, and going away with 13-year-olds represents different challenges to just taking a group of professional players away. What have you seen this week? We've seen a couple of days now. Have you been impressed by the standard, or what are your thoughts?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's been a long time since I was a kid, I guess, so you always wonder back. But in terms of technique, there's some outstanding players. There's already a few we've identified. And that's one thing which Han and I agree on, is looking for the technical players. There's a few boys out there who might not be as strong as others, but we're going for the players who have got the touch, who have got the technique, who maybe aren't as sharp as they will be, but you can see they've got the football knowledge and brains and decision-making and all those type of things, which will always be there. And hopefully, you know, their bodies will catch up. So, you know, we identify the players who can actually play.
I've just obviously I've only been watching myself, and you come along and you think, well, how do you pick 11 or 15 or whatever it is, boys? And you know, you might see a left back who's okay as a left back, but he might be better as a midfield player. But you're not probably going to get that position. Are you picking really on a skill based or on a position based?
At the moment, it's a bit. You need a balance, because obviously we're going to take 22 away, but predominantly we're going to go for the best players, and from there, because it's a 13s, because I'm not so fussed about winning wherever we're going. It's all about development, and to get the best players out there, you know, that's what we'll get. So we're not going to get the biggest defenders who can't play. That was hopefully in the past in Australian football. So we're trying to get players who can play, and if we have to mix and match players and put them around, that's part of their development as well. So that's the way I think we're going to go. So, you know, we're hoping to get some good players out of there.
Now, the guys head over in June, I think, to Malaysia, the guys are going, aren't they? So it's quite an exciting development, do you think, for Australian football. How do you think the kids are going to feel about representing Australia at the age of 13? And what does it mean? Because obviously in your day, that wasn't possible.
No, I think I didn't even have Joeys in my day, I don't think. We had the young Socceroos. It's at the end of the day, it gives them a stepping stone, and hopefully they take it. And because it's such a, you can drop off from 13 to 18, so this is hopefully will open their eyes up to what's available, and they keep working, they'll experience, you know, another culture, another country, which football has given me as well. I've been to countries I'd never would have dreamed of. So it's not only a football thing, it's also them growing up as kids to be there, and in terms of football, to be there in Asia, which is where we're going, is a great step for them as well. So
obviously, you said there wasn't a Joeys around when you were there. So just to reflect there on the opportunities for these kids, you know, they may or may not go on to make it as footballers, but to get to go as an Australian under 13 player, you know, how do you see that as, in terms of development of the game?
Oh, it's huge. It's like I said, it's an opportunity thing. Although we didn't have, in saying that, Canberra didn't have many opportunities as a kid to get out of Canberra, which Canberra boys have now. But it's going off the topic. But the 13s, like I said, it's a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone to the Joeys. So they've got a year or two to develop to get into that. Then you've got the Joeys, obviously, which starts, I think, now for 16. So it's not just that 2 months preparing for the Joeys. So they've got 2 years to prepare for it. So they'll, you know, they've got opportunities to play for Australia till they're 13, from till they're 13 to, you know, 35 maybe. So it's a long stage, yeah.
What for you, Ante, what's your own thoughts? Firstly, with the squad, will you meet the squad before June, or what's the plans once you select the squad this week, presumably, or next week? How often will you be meeting them, if at all?
That's the only sticky point. Obviously, you want them as much as you can, but like I said, it's a development thing. They've got their own programs, most of the boys anyway. But we're going to try and get a squad out to them by Monday, a squad of 30 we're looking at. 22 will go away, so we'll have a 3-day or 4-day camp prior to us leaving. So it is a little bit rushed, and you know, it's not ideal, but that's what we've been given. So, and then from that 30 odd, we'll get down to 22, like I said, who'll go away to Malaysia.
And what about for yourself? Obviously, this is, I would say, a major coup to be the coach of the Australian national team, having played at such a high level anyway. So where, you know, let's think ahead, just dream a little bit. Where would you like to be in sort of 5, 10, 15 years' time as a football coach?
In the interview, I actually said I want to coach Australia one day, so in terms of men's, but...
Well, you've already done that.
Well, that's right, yeah. It's only kids, but still, it's something. But in, you know, realistic terms, you know, that's what I'm going to aim for, but realistically, just to be a career coach is, you know, a great career to have as well, you know, especially after playing. It's what you love and what you want to do, so... But it is a tough world, I guess, in terms of coaching, but something I want to do, so, yeah.
Right, well, Ante Juric, former Canberran and Australian under-13 inaugural coach, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much, sir.
Ante Juric, inaugural coach of the Australian under-13, spent a week down in Canberra looking at the lads. Now, we've got hot topics. We've got our expert Russ Gibbs sitting there across the table. You love it when I call you the expert Russ, don't you?
Especially when I don't know the coaches of all the 8 teams. That was a bit embarrassing.
No, that's right. You're on this. It's like, you know...
It's like, who wants to be a millionaire, isn't it?
Yeah, mastermind.
But without the cash.
Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left. The topics are Alvaro Recoba. Well, first of all, the Asian Champions League. Central Coast Mariners, Newcastle Jets are not the teams they were when they won their titles or came second or whatever they did. What are your thoughts, Russ? They're playing in the Asian Champions League 12 and a bit months later.
Yeah, logistically, I think they need to find a way to switch it around so that the current champions can be represented in the league. It'd make a big difference if the Newcastle Jets team that had got to the that had won the tournament 2 years ago with Mark Bridge, Joel Griffiths, etc., had playing in the Asian Champions League, there'd have been a much better performance.
I hate to tell you this, but they've just extended the season till March the 30th, so there is absolutely no way that's going to happen.
No chance it's going to happen. No. But it's a shame.
It is a shame, and I agree with you. And also, I think the fans would be more interested if the guys that had won the championship 2 weeks later before and started in the Asian Champions League.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that's, thanks for that anyway. That's good. Next one is Alvaro Recoba, the marquee. Now, he may or may not come, of course. There's a lot of talk at this time of year about contracts, etc. But what are your thoughts? Does the marquee work? They've talked about Danielson. You know, we've seen John Aloisi, Juninho. Not all the clubs have had a marquee. Robbie Fowler's obviously there. What do you think?
I think the marquee player needs to be someone that's going to make a difference to the team and a difference to the game in general. Alvaro Recoba, I think, would be a great marquee signing. He'd get people talking. He's not the most liked person in the whole of Australia after his comments in the Uruguayan match when we thrashed them on penalties. But it'd be one of those love-hate figures like Ronaldo, like Cantona, like, you know, your big names in the past in the UK. He'll get people talking. I think that's the important thing about a marquee player. And I think he can back up his words with his performances on the field.
We've got a few marquees coming in. I mean, Robbie Fowler, Jason Kalina, potentially Recoba. I don't know whether Melbourne have got a marquee, whether it's Archie Thompson or Kevin Muscat. I mean, Sydney, of course, had Juninho. Aloisi's still there. Does it work?
In some respects, it does. In some respects, it doesn't. Look at the failures we've had in a few, like Edmundo Zura. He wasn't great. Jardel wasn't great. I think Robbie Fowler's going to be good. Dwight York obviously worked. It's very important to get the right one. It's difficult to know which one it's going to be. It's up to each team individually to sort that out.
And very quickly, the coach in Hartlepool,
Chris Turner, the ex-Man U girl.
Yeah, said he'd rather be... it's a step down for Joel Porter coming to the Gold Coast. What do you think?
It's Hartlepool or the Gold Coast. Doesn't need any more to be said, does it? If you've ever been to Hartlepool, it's grim. Gold Coast is great. Can't blame him. Joel Porter, I think, will do a great job.
It's grim up north.
It's grim up north. It certainly is. I think Chris Turner's never been to the Gold Coast.
Clearly not. Okay, thanks very much, Ross, and we'll hear from you again next week. And remember, if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
I'm Kai.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Irish.
And we love football.
You're listening to
2XX.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
The Near Post, my name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football, local football across the Canberra Community Radio Network on 98.3 FM 2XX. And with me is... Well, he was the national expert and he's just become the local expert. It's Russ Gibbs. How are you, Russ?
I'm okay, thanks. I might have got all the coaches of the locals game a bit more correct than the A-League. I seem to watch a lot more of that these days.
Okay, I'm going to test you.
Don't. You can try. I might be able to help you out.
All right, go on then.
Are you going to go for it?
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Canberra FC is Turnich.
I assume you're just going men, not women?
Yeah, just the men's, yeah.
Okay, all right, go on then.
It's Turnich, Canberra FC.
Yep.
ANU, John Mitchell.
Yep.
Wen Valley, Paul Gagetti.
Yep.
Balconnon, Scott Conlon.
Yep.
Canberra Olympic, Ian Haywards.
Yep.
Conlon Knights, Dino Grinich. Yep. Tuggeranong United, Darren Viskovic. Canberra City, Pat Caggiano. And Queanbeyan City is Trakowski, I think his name is this year. Zmeljo Trakowski, I think. I'm not sure for the Queanbeyan City, but that's the only one I'm not 100% on.
Okay, well, that's not bad. That's not bad, Taurus. I don't think I would have got half of them, but...
that's what you get when you spend all your week talking to them.
That's good. Okay, we're hoping for Woden Valley's Rad Trakowski to come in the door any moment, but if he doesn't... Not a problem, as they say.
We'll still talk about his trip abroad.
Yeah, we will. And we'll talk... Well, we've got some news, first of all. What's happening locally, Russ?
Well, the Qantas Joeys played Turkey over the Anzac weekend. A couple of matches. They went down 1-0 and 2-1 on the weekend. The ACTAS was represented by four players. Christopher Bush, Alexander Mybush, Stephen Dominici and Jason Guerrier were on the card for the Qantas Joeys, and would have been a good experience for those boys playing over in Turkey in two matches such as what they played.
Great to see four guys from the local scene in the AIS program, so you know, you'd have to be confident that two or three of them will make it through to the A-League standard, if not higher.
And, you'd hope so.
And Rad has just walked through the door, so
that's good. We'll be able to get him in just a second. Matilda's training camp started on the 30th of April to the 4th of May at the Carrara Stadium in the Gold Coast. Canberra United, represented by five players: Ellie Brush, Grace Gill, Thea Slatyer, Sasha McDonnell, and Cara Mowbray. So it's good to see the representation from the Canberra United girls there. Five girls coming in the Matilda squad, and it's good to see that Tom Samani's picked a bit of local talent there.
It is also the Dubbo twins, Canberra United players Ashley and Nicole Sykes of the FFA. They've been unable to play in the Boys Under 18 League, and the FFA have taken the local association to court, or to, certainly to have some legal negotiations. And I think the local association have been a bit stunned by this. So I imagine the outcome when the little association meets the and the big bad FFA. I'm sure the Sykes girls will be playing pretty soon.
And yeah, for those who don't know the story, that's because they've applied to play in the local boys under 18s league, I think it was, wasn't it? And they were turned down.
Yeah, and I think the grounds, basically what they're saying is you can either exclude them because they're not physically strong enough or not skillful enough. And if so, the FFA are asking, you know, where's the results of your tests? Or secondly, you can exclude them on gender, which I don't think you can under the constitution. So either way, the local association are under a bit of pressure to produce some results. So
we'll keep an eye on that and let you know, obviously, as and when that comes about.
Although, interestingly, Russ, whenever I write about the Dubbo Sykes girls, who obviously are part of the Matildas, Young Matildas, and Canberra United, so, you know, I consider them local, part of the community, there's a few people who get really outraged by the fact that I write about the Dubbo girls and quite sick about hearing about them, which I find very weird and strange. And I don't know
what seems to be the reasoning for this.
They just say that they're not part of the local community, the Canberra community, and so I've gently pointed out that it's a blog and that you can write what you want on the blog. I'm not paid by anybody. It's not a Capital Football blog. They put it on their website out of, you know, just because it's news about football, but there's no reason why I have to write about Canberra football.
And last time I looked, they both played in the Canberra United women's team, so that
exactly,
by association then makes them part of the local community. Yeah. For me.
And aside from that, if I want to write about it, well, that's what a blog is.
I will. And if you right. And if you don't like about it, feel free to go on and write about it, because that's what a blog's for as well.
Yeah, or don't read it.
Or don't read it.
Go on and find a better blog about local football. You know, good luck to you.
Good luck. Club Pink Premier League fixtures start this weekend. First round of the Women's Top Elite League. Three matches to be played on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Deakin Oval. The Canberra FC, newly formed Canberra FC, play ANU in their first match back in the Club Pink Premier League. And two big games down at Corwell, Woden Valley against the Bell West Foxes, a rematch there of the Federation Cup final, I believe, and Western Creek against Belconnen United, both games at Corwell, 2-3 and 2-4 at 1 o'clock. We're looking forward to that competition kicking off, Eamon.
We were hoping to have Rad Trepakoski. As the time clicks by, we're less assured that he'll be walking through the door. I did think I'd seen him, but it's obviously a mirage.
Maybe you never know. Maybe Rad's got his days mixed up. We have got some news on him. We'll speak about that later on. We can anyway. I've got further news on an exciting match taking place on Friday at the Belconnen Soccer Centre, Eamon, at 6:30. The ACT Young Socceroos will play the Beijing Guoan FC Under-20s in a match and a friendly game. The Beijing squad are over here having a training and competition opportunity down in Victoria as we speak, playing some games with the VFA and Victorian-based teams, playing the ACT Under-20s on Saturday, on Friday night, then playing Canberra City's Premier League team on Saturday and the Marconi Stallions. And the ACT Rockets coaches Ian Shaw and Pat McCann have told me that they're having a competitive annual calendar for the Rockets at the moment. They're helping to get that on. There's a couple of games coming up for them as well. They're trying to get that fixture list up and running. And I'll just give you a quick rundown of the squad for the under-20s, ACT Rockets under-20s. Goalkeepers Ashley Collins from Tuggeranong and Jason Denham from the O'Connor Knights. The defenders, Zach Mabry from Belconnen, John O'Reese from Woden Valley, Bernard Rene from Belconnen United, Edgar Daly from ANU and Ryan Jones from ANU. Midfielders are Cuffin Evans from Woden Valley, Taylor Beaton from Belconnen, Luke Pilkington from ANU, Dean Tomeski from the Knights, Tim McLaughlin from ANU, Marco Siljanowski from Woden Valley and Anthony Bekovic from ANU. And the three forwards they've selected, Dana Gabare from the ANU, Matt Atkins from Olympic, and Yanni Karabalis, also from Olympic. So a good-looking squad there, made up of six ANU players, three from Werden Valley and three from Belconnen, two from the Knights, two from Olympic, and one from Tuggeranong. So a very diverse squad that Ian Shaw and Pat McCann have picked.
You're listening to The Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me is Russ Gibbs. Russ, we'll have a full roundup of the local Premier scene towards the end of the show. But it's also junior football season is starting, the Women's League starting. And I guess to celebrate the thousands upon thousands of junior football players that are going out there, Rad Trukowski has joined us from Woden Valley Football Club. And Rad is... obviously passionate about his football. He came in, some listeners may remember, he came in last year to talk about the plan, how the boys, Woden Valley, were going to, were in the middle of organising their trip away. At that stage, it seemed like a long way off. We're a little bit closer, and I'm delighted to say, Rad, that welcome you to the studio, first of all, but also you've sent through a thorough, and I think every guest should have to send through a thorough documentation of what they're doing, so to make our life a lot easier. So we appreciate that, Rad, very much, and welcome to, thanks for joining us tonight. Rad, last year when you came in, you talked about your plans, but obviously things have... gone forward at a great rate. It's been a long journey. Basically, tell us what's happening, who's going, where are you going?
Well, in a nutshell, we're travelling to six European cities commencing on the 3rd of July. Last time I was in, we were just about ready to organise a Lightning football tournament as our major fundraiser, which actually was a huge event. We had close to 60 teams take part over the weekend. And this year's tournament also was quite big as well. So
a little bit less, I heard, this year.
I think it was close to about 50 teams this year. So maybe the economic climate, a lot of people are hanging their hats on that. So that's held a few numbers back.
But it didn't affect you, hopefully?
Last year it didn't. It has in Europe. It has affected us. We were looking at a second tournament in Amsterdam, the Haarlem Cup.
Oh yeah.
It's been running for 24 years. It was in its 25th year this year, and they actually cancelled the tournament because of the economic climate.
Wow.
So, which was a bit unfortunate, but we've managed to organise three matches there, friendly matches against Dutch opposition, so that'll be good for the boys.
It certainly will. So you're heading off to in July for broadly for about, well, just under 3 weeks, is it?
Yeah, 22 nights the tour is for. We're heading off, 3rd of July. Our first stop is in Helsinki, the Helsinki Cup, which is in its 35th year.
Right.
And apparently we're the first ever team from Australia to go along to the Helsinki Cup, so they're very excited about hosting us, and we're very excited on being the first team from Australia to take part in the Helsinki Cup.
It's fantastic. What are some of the highlights are you going to go to? Have to mention Manchester United, because Russ is a big Manchester United fan, even though I grew up with two brothers who are Manchester United, so we get that over the way. So the lads obviously will be excited about going to Manchester United. You're going to play teams in England, Bristol Rovers, Cholton down in London. You'll probably have a tour of the Gunners at Arsenal's ground. It's just Paris for a few days. What a trip.
It's mind-blowing, really. Yeah. It's been 3 years in the making. It hasn't sort of happened overnight. But you're right, after Helsinki, we do venture into Manchester for 3 nights. And the contact we have there is actually a life member of the Manchester United Football Club. And talking to him by phone and via email, he tells me blow by blow all the matches he goes to.
I hope he's ringing you.
Well, it's both ways. But so we've got two matches there. Then we're off to London to play the Charlton Athletic under-15s academy side to try our luck against those guys. And the contact there has been terrific as well. Then we're off to Cardiff for a night, and we come back and play Bristol Rovers as our match there. And into Paris for 4 nights, a couple of matches there, and finish off in Amsterdam with 3 matches there.
Right, I wanted to ask you, logistically, how is it all going about organising all these games against all these foreign oppositions? I mean, how's your French and your Dutch and your Finnish getting you through?
All those languages are non-existent, to be honest with you. I'm pleasantly surprised every time I do pick up the phone and talk to people over there that their English is quite good, and they're quite easy to get along with and very accommodating. All the people I've spoken to over there.
It's just the English you can't understand, is it?
I mean, the fellow in Helsinki, the organisers there have been terrific. They've put us onto contacts in Haarlem, Amsterdam, in Paris, and those guys have managed to organise matches for us. So the Helsinki mob have been very good. Very good
in terms of accommodation, what's your plans? And where are you billeting the boys out with locals, or you're staying in hotels?
No, quite surprisingly, it's all 4-star accommodation, which has been terrific. Again, very accommodating over there in Helsinki. We've managed to we've got a breakfast, lunch, and dinner plus 7 nights accommodation. I think it works out to about $80 a night. So it's fantastic. They really looked after us over there.
What are the boys thinking? I mean, obviously they're 15 years. Some of them would have never been out of Australia, I assume. And to be the thoughts of them, you know, they're sitting there on the chance of a trip of not just playing football over there, but they're going to these places for the first time with their mates. I mean, it must be fantastic.
I think a lot of the boys, when we first mentioned this, thought it was a bit of a joke, because we took them away to the Champions Cup in the Gold Coast Champions Cup. Back in 2005, as a bit of a trial.
So when they're under 12 or 13.
They were under 12, yeah. So that was an 8-night, 9-night getaway. So that was interesting, and all went well. And then I did mention to the parents, next is Europe, and I think a lot of them thought it was a bit of a joke, but it has all come together nicely.
So most of those guys who went to the Gold Coast, they've all played together, have that all that time.
To a lot of people's surprise, this team that we are taking. Close to about 70% of these players have been together for the past 5 years, 6 years. So it's a very close-knit squad.
Yeah. Certainly is. And you've been the coach, have you, around all that time?
Ninth season now with the boys. Season. So I've seen them all grow up from waist high and now higher than myself.
Now, that's an interesting aside, isn't it? Just, I mean, as a, you know, for your life, you've seen these guys for nine years with these guys. I mean, just what has been some of the changes you've seen in the boys as a parent, as a coach, as a dad?
I think the biggest change is their attitude, to be honest with you. Yeah. They've all developed an attitude the last year or two, but
you're taking them away to Paris.
I think they're all smart kids. They're all got their heads screwed on correctly, and end of the day, it's about football. And like a lot of young kids, they enjoy playing football, and they enjoy playing football in this team. So. In fact, we've got one particular kid who's changed schools. He's changed schools to be with this particular team this year.
And you able to get these lads out of school for this?
Well, we're away for 2 weeks during the school holidays, and then a lot of the lads will be away for an extra 2 weeks. So, end of the day, it was the parents' decision.
They'll learn more on the trip than in school.
Exactly.
And your support staff, you're not going alone. Obviously, you're going to have a bit of help.
Yeah, we're taking a fully qualified physio. Kate O'Connell's coming with us from Southside Physiotherapy. So I'd like to thank on air Bjana Krag, who's the owner of Southside Physio, for letting Kate travel with us. We're fully funding her trip, which is at our expense, but to have someone qualified like that to look after the players is a must, I think.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it really gives some credibility to the trip, and also support for the boys is great.
Definitely. Kate's been working very hard with us the last 12 to 18 months. She's written strength conditioning programs for the players and has them going in to see her to make sure that they're all on track, so it's all been working very well.
And you have an assistant coach?
Yeah, we've got Frank Borgner, who's been with us now for this is our fourth year together, so he's also on the trip, so that all works fine as well. So
how much has this taken out of your life, this organization? I mean, any of these voluntary, you know, any voluntary role is not easy, but this is obviously huge.
To be honest with you, I mean, I haven't kept records. I'm a bit frightened to do so, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the planning. I enjoy being part of the squad, and it really gives me a lot of pleasure to have this trip finally come off. It's only 8 weeks away now, so
it's
getting very close.
Looking at the figures you've got here, I mean, just to let the people know, it's a monumental task that you've been asked to do here, to fundraise $126,000 to cover the 17 players to and the team physio for over 30 months.
I like this one, Russ.
It's amazing.
Sold over 34,000 pieces of Cadbury's chocolate.
34,000, is that frogs? Frogos, yeah, and stuff
that's right,
like that.
The frogs,
and
yes.
There's loads of stuff here. There's 9,000 sausages, 3,000 egg and bacon rolls.
20 Bunnings barbecues. Bunnings should be paying you.
Yeah. Was there ever a stage when you thought it wasn't going to happen?
To be honest with you, no. No, I mean, I personally was determined to make sure this did happen, because I actually went over in 05 with my son, who was 10 years old then, with Jason Lance from the Corver Academy here in Canberra, and I've seen firsthand what it's all about over there. We had a good introduction to football in Holland and then over in the UK, and at that stage I thought this would be something very unique to go with your own local football team. So from there on in, it was something that I really was determined to make sure happened.
Well, you're 8 weeks away, Rad. I mean, I think this is a bit of a Woden Valley annual event, isn't it?
Because
I know
next
year, Karen Faishney, I know, well, when she came in last year, she was talking about they were organising a trip.
Well, the boys, with Karen, the boys went away to Sweden to play in the Gothia Cup 2 years ago now.
Yep.
They did very well in that particular championship. Prior to that, the girls...
The girls
last year went to the Dana Cup in Denmark,
yep.
And they also took a bunch of girls over about, I think, 4 years ago to the Dana Cup. So this we're the fourth team to go away.
Is there anybody planning...
There's more activity. We've got a team who's under-14s this year. They're travelling next year to Germany. And then we've got another team who's under-13s this year, boys' team, and they're travelling to Serbia, is the plan, in 2 years' time.
Right.
And I believe a girls' team is also looking to go to Denmark again next year.
Wow.
So a lot of activity at the Woden Club.
It's interesting because when various Woden people have been in over the last year or so talking about these trips that they've been doing, I started thinking about it for my own club. I'm involved with Madura. And I thought, I looked at the figures and I thought, I'm off to Asia.
It's a huge commitment.
It is a huge commitment.
I mean, we set this budget up nearly 30 months ago. We said it'll be roughly $7,000 a head. And it was a big figure for a lot of people to come to grips with.
Sure, it is. What have the boys had to do? You know, obviously, as I've been a former teacher, the 15-year-old boys aren't always the most motivated. Some of them are incredibly motivated, but, you know, you've got a large group there.
We have. I mean, each of the players have taken this upon themselves at different levels. Some have been very, very enthusiastic and raised a lot of dollars within 18 to 20 months. Others have sort of dragged their feet a little bit, but they've had a good push from the parents. We installed a repayment type program some time ago where we insisted that you make instalments every second or third month, and those instalments could come from fundraising or they could come from your own pocket. So that's how we try to break the cost down a fair bit, and it seemed to work quite well.
Have you had people dropping out along the way, or is it?
We have indeed. We've had I think three or four people drop out for various reasons.
Sure.
But we haven't had any problems at all filling those spots. As soon as one would drop out, kids would hear, clubs would hear that the trip was on and there's a spot open. So it was just a matter of making sure that who we brought in could actually, benefit the team and benefit the players they were going to play with.
And we talked a bit socially, but what about from a coach's point of view, what are you trying to get out of it in terms of a football point of view? I suppose really it's all about a lifetime experience, but I mean, obviously, you know, you want to... you've got thoughts on that?
My main aim has been along the way to basically get these players playing at their best possible potential, whether that's to reach the Premier League here in Canberra, whether it's to play in Sydney or play in the A-League. Every kid has their own dreams, own aspirations, but my main goal as a coach is to get the best out of each player and whatever level that is, as long as they're playing football for a long time to come.
And that's what most of the boys there are aiming, would like at the moment, dreaming of playing maybe Premier League or certainly A-League?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I have a questionnaire that I have the players fill out every year as part of our process, and it's funny, year after year, the same old thing comes out, you know, that your Barcelonas, your Man U's, your Arsenals... A number of them now, I think, have come to the realisation that maybe the A-League, maybe the Premier League here in Canberra is a starting point and then build on that.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting as they go along.
Looking at the itinerary though, Rad, I mean, it's not just all football when you get over there.
No.
There's a lot of cultural and historical sites you're taking the kids to. And there'll be some shenanigans. Do you think the boys will benefit and enjoy taking that in? Are they at the right age to be able to do that?
I certainly hope so. I mean, the plan is there's close to 15 games in those 22 nights, so a lot of football. But in between, the whole idea behind this itinerary was to give them a break in between, but also have a lot of cultural aspects thrown in, such as there's visits there to Stonehenge and the Roman baths in Bath. In Paris, obviously the Eiffel Tower and a bit of a cruise on the river. In London, again, all the sites in London, Warwick Castle, all sorts of things that I think a lot of the parents also insisted should be part of the itinerary.
I think it should. I mean, they'll remember it forever.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's an absolute trip of a lifetime. As they're going for the football, they're going with the mates, but they're going to see things that they may never get to see again. You don't know, do you?
Yeah. Hopefully not too many things that they'll never see again, but it should be. I think a lot of the parents are concerned about what they'll see in Amsterdam, but hopefully not too much.
I think what I really want to know was, do you need any radio commentaries while you're over there? Because I think we'll be quite keen. It sounds like a fantastic trip, and congratulations in organising it all in such a lengthy process and getting everybody involved. Have you had good feedback from the parents in terms of in terms of them being a lot of supportive towards you and hoping that maybe 3 years down the track they can do another one.
I don't know about another one, but I mean the support from the parents has been excellent, even from day one when we said this is what we're looking to do. Even with raised eyebrows, I think the support was there from day one, and it was just a matter of bringing everything together. And the fundraising has been a test at times, but what we did is actually we did some group fundraising, then we left a lot of fundraising up to the individuals to do on their own, so kept it separate to that extent.
Have you got all the money in now, or have you still got
it? No, the money's all in.
So it's all done? 8 weeks out and you're
all... It's still in the accounts. We paid for our airfares some time ago, and we're just coming now to the final aspects of the ground costings, and hopefully we're looking to pay for all that sometime this week, early next week, and then it's
so
all
you're
done.
You're on Easy Street, Rad. Oh, yeah. You've just got the minor task now of taking 17 boys overseas.
I think all the fun begins when we get on that plane on the 3rd of July, so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
From your own point of view, is there any particular aspect of the trip you're looking forward to the most? Any particular place or to visit, or any particular country or team you're looking forward to playing against or anything?
I mean, I'm looking forward to the football in particular, more so than the sightseeing, but probably the Helsinki Cup. The organisers over there faxed over the list of all the teams coming to the under-15s, and there's 60 teams playing in the under-15s boys comp and 9 teams from Brazil, so we're definitely going to be in with the group with Brazil. There's teams from Russia coming, teams from Portugal, teams from Turkey, so we're hoping that they'll throw us in with a whole stack of different teams from different countries.
That's the one tournament you've been able to get into, is it the Helsinki tournament?
That's a definite goer. 800 plus teams every year, so it's something that they...
So that's really the focal point, really, in terms of the football, where you want to kind of achieve a little bit? Or?
Well, I mean, we're not going there with aspirations of winning silverware, but what we want to do is make sure that we're competitive. And obviously, like all coaches and all players, we hope to take a few wins away as well. So.
Sure.
You're taking an Australian kit to play in so that you can represent the country?
Well, actually, the club does have a policy in place with regards to kits as teams travel. And that is that we travel in the club colours, the Woden Valley red and sky blue. So we actually the kit is sitting in my home at the moment, 17 bags all ready to go, and the kit is the Arsenal kit, the old Arsenal kit with wherever there's white, there's now sky blue. So the players' surnames on the back with their numbers they've been wearing for the last 3 or 4 years.
I think most people around Canberra know the Woden Valley kit. Absolutely. Well,
So it's fantastic.
Before you came in, Rad, Russ and I were having a chat about the itinerary, and we noted that you're playing, I mean, obviously we're both from England, and we noticed you're playing Bristol Rovers on the 15s and Charlton, I think, on the 15s, and Russ was, thinking that they'd be very strong sides. Now, we have no idea, but what do you have contact about the standard and how the teams might go, or...? It's just potluck, is it?
From what I've heard and what I've been told on the phone by both of those managers of those teams, they are a very high standard. So I'm hoping we can go there and keep the damage to a minimum, to be honest with you. If we can go there and get close to them and compete, it'll be a job well done by all the players.
Because you'd say that you're a club side rather than a representative. You haven't really dragged in players from all over the place. No.
We've got one kid coming with us from the Wollongong Wolves. We formed the relationship with his team back in under-11s Kanga Cup, so some 4 years ago. And when the opportunity came up and the spot came up, the email went out and the kid was on board within 24 hours and had his deposit paid.
Wow.
So it's fantastic.
Fantastic,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And fantastic job you've done.
You mentioned, I was just looking at the fixtures again, you were talking about Charlton Athletic and Bristol Rovers then off to the Helsinki Cup. You might get a group of different, Brazil, Portuguese, Russians who are playing a couple of games in Holland, a couple of games in France. Do you expect to see a lot of different styles of football in the different countries that you visit?
Certainly. I mean, what we're hoping, I mean, the Dutch system, obviously the total football system, I mean, there's one system there. You'll have the Brazilians that hopefully will simply just attack all day long, so other teams that'll sit back and wait for us. So
what's the Woden Valley system?
Oh, the Woden,
how would you describe that?
The Woden Valley system is to probably sit and wait for the first few minutes and see what we're actually playing against. And I mean, the boys are quite a decent bunch of boys. They can play football.
They're playing Div 1, aren't they?
They're playing Div 1. Yep. They've been the premiers of the Div 1 competition the last 3 years in a row. And we're looking for something special again this year. Last year, the boys went through without dropping a point. They had 15 matches and 15 wins. So They are quite a decent team, and they can play when they really come ready to play. So,
well, it'll certainly open some of their eyes into standards of football. You know, obviously they'll probably get thumped in one or two games, maybe, but maybe they won't. But certainly, from an individual player's point of view, they're going to learn a fair bit from their own football performance, their own attitudes.
Mm.
It's going to be great for them. It's a great test.
Well, I mean, just on that thumping bit, we did actually have a representative from ACTAS who travelled with ACTAS some years ago to the UK to come and talk to the parents, and he was telling us all about his experiences and how they played your Charltons, your Arsenals, your Man U's, and some games they did get thumped, other games they were very competitive. So, end of the day, as long as you enjoy the experience and come back a better player.
That's right, and you know what we say on the Near Post Road, you're only as good as your coach.
Exactly.
I'd just like to say congratulations for getting it all done. I think it's a great thing for local football, and you should be congratulated.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fantastic. You know, local, we rely on volunteers like you to get involved in the game, just at local level, at coach level, but to go on and do something like this is fantastic. And for these group of boys, they'll never forget this trip, and I think it's a great thing you and Woden Valley have done. And Rad, if we can, we'd love you to have you back in after the trip.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, love to come back in and let you know how we went.
Yeah, so. It'd be great. So we look forward to that. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so we're just going to wrap Russ with the Premier League this weekend, and good luck to all the junior clubs and women's league starting on the weekend. There's thousands of people going out there running around watching football at all the clubs, and give the referees your full support and all the players your full support, because it's a beautiful game when it's played in the right spirit.
Well, we'll wrap with the Premier League results on the weekend. We'll stay with Woden Valley. They drew 1-1 with ANUFC. Hayden O'Kelly gave Woden Valley the lead. Ryan Jones' penalty getting a point for John Mitchell's men, keeping ANU in second on the ladder and Woden in third. Both of them trail Canberra SC, who are 2-2. They won 4-3 on the weekend against Canberra City. John Ison with a brace. Alex Castro and Michael Spalletta scoring the goals for Canberra SC. A double from Pat Ross-McGee and one from Simon Allen. Not enough to get Canberra City over the line, but that was a good performance from Pat Caggiano's boys. The other two matches on the weekend, Canberra Olympic and O'Connor Knights shared the points in a 2-2 draw. Olympic took a 2-0 lead through Oliver Wiedeke and Scott Barsley. A Steve Vanzetti own goal and a Goran Veljanovski equaliser, getting O'Connor their first point of the season, and Olympic getting off the season with a draw. And finally, at Canberra 2, it finished Tuggeranong United 1, Queanbeyan City 2. Goran Josefowski with a brace for Queanbeyan City, including a last-minute winner. Tim Mathers' goal for Tuggeranong United, not enough. And it also finished 2-1 in sendings off to Queanbeyan City. Ludovic Papin and Tony Alekowski, the captain, were sent off for Queanbeyan. Pete McLaughlin going for Tuggeranong United. Just to tell you the fixtures this weekend, Saturday at McKellar Stadium, Belconnen United play Canberra Olympic. And on Sunday at ANU North, it's ANU versus Canberra FC. At Woden Valley, it's Woden Valley versus Tuggeranong United. And at the Riverside, it's Queanbeyan City versus the O'Connor Knights.
Are you wandering out this weekend, Russ?
Yeah, I'll probably go down to watch a couple of the games. I've got a bit of cramp here in the studio.
You've got a cramp. Recording out the results.
It's not good.
We're the fittest football commentary in the country.
Absolutely. I'll probably head out to a match this weekend. Not entirely sure which one it will be yet. I might head down to Woden Enclosed to watch the Dougies boys to see if they can get their first point of the season. Belconnen Olympic is the big one.
I'd put in a workers' comp claim there, Russ. What about the the Women's League? That's starting up this weekend?
Yeah, Club Pink Premier League all on Sunday. Western Creek versus Belconnen United. Canberra FC versus AN. And Woden Valley versus the Foxes. The Western Creek and Woden Valley games at Corwell, the Canberra FC match at Deakin Oval, and we'll be interested to see how Canberra FC's girls go in their first league match of since their reformation.
Are you predicting a win?
Against ANU, it should be a tricky one, but out of all the teams in the league, I think that would be the one they'd like to start with, and I think, yes, they will win.
OK, well, that's the wrap from the Near Post this week. As mentioned earlier, we're looking for people to get involved in the show. If you'd like to be a host of the local show, join us maybe once a week or once a month. We'd be delighted to have you involved, whether you've got opinions or thoughts on junior football, women's football or men's football, really just a little bit of knowledge with Russ and myself and one or two others. We're trying to spread the load, I guess. And also, you can hear the interview today with Rad on the podcast. So if you know anybody who would like to listen, the podcast should be available on the blog, www.nearpost.blogspot.com, and should also be available on the Capital Football website. So you can catch up what's happening with local football, and particularly with the Woden Valley trip. And just to say thanks once again to Russ Gibbs, and particularly to Rad Trukowski for calling in, and best of luck for Rad with the trip, and to all the boys and the people going to Europe.
Thank you.
Lucky
thank you.
People. And whether you're going playing down at the local Oval or going to Europe, to Finland or wherever you're going, if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.